Genesis chapter 3, verse 6. It says, "So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, that they knew, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord." Underline sound. They heard some sound. They heard with their ears the sound of the Lord walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree of which I commanded you that you should not eat?" The man said, "She did it. The woman whom you gave me, whom you gave to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I ate." Father, we just come to you, and we thank you for your word. I pray, God, that from this service, Lord, from your word today, Lord, something would spark within us, Lord, of the greatest, the most important, the most vital conversation that we are supposed to have every day. It's with you, our Creator. God, I pray that something would spark within us, Lord, that we would commit to you and pursue not to fail, but that we would have conversations, daily conversations with you. We thank you, Father, in Jesus' name, amen. You know, a conversation goes two ways, doesn't it? I speak, the person's listening while I'm speaking. That's supposed to happen, right, guys? But it's a two-way street where we speak, the other person's hearing, listening. And then we stop speaking. So that because why? Because it's our turn to listen while the other one speaks. It's important that we understand this. Now, with this, the conversation goes wrong. Where did it go wrong? When they disobeyed God, they realized what had happened, what they were. They didn't have any clothes on. They were naked and they hid. They heard the sound of the Lord walking. I wonder what that sound sounded like. Because he's walking in the garden in the cool of the day. They hear the Lord walking. They hid themselves from his presence. That doesn't happen. That didn't happen in the garden. This was the first time this happened in the garden. They never hid because they were afraid or ashamed. Not until this day. They hid from the presence of God. And really, that's kind of like an oxymoron because that doesn't really make sense, because you really can't hide from the presence of God because God is omnipresent. So no matter where you go, you make your bed in hell, God is there. If you go to the farthest place of the universe, of the world, God will be there. He is omnipresent. And so God asks this weird question, "Where are you?" Like God didn't know. It's kind of like when, you know, parents play hide and go seek with the kids. "Come find me, come find me." You know, I mean, you know, you're right there, you know. "Where are you?" And the kid's just hiding and you're looking everywhere else but where your child is at. You know where the child is at. But God says, "Where are you?" Adam didn't know. Adam didn't know. He didn't realize where he was at. Where was he? And it was interesting that Janine mentioned about hiding in God. They were hiding behind a bush or tree. They were hiding behind something. We are to learn to hide in the presence of God, with God. Hide ourselves in him. Run into him. There's a song that says that I will run into the tower which is God, who is stronger than I, and that I will run to him and I will hide. He who abides in the secret place and with God. I mean, abiding there. I mean, learn to hide yourself in God. And then sometimes people are like, "Well, that's like a buzzword, hide in the presence of God. I don't understand that." You know what? Go and run to him regardless of whatever's around. Don't be afraid of anyone or anything that's going on in your life because you are in his presence. Hide yourself there. And they were hiding. And Adam didn't realize hey, I'm doing something I've never done before. I'm hiding in God's presence. You see, separation from relationship is caused by us, or the relationship with God. It's caused by us, not God. Because of us, because of sin, because of shame, because of disobedience, Adam and Eve were hiding. They knew that they had to hide. Why? Because of the shame. Today, you know, our conversations with God. Slide one, Joe. Our conversations with God. I found this and I thought this is perfect. Because I mentioned a long time ago, many months ago, might have been last year, maybe a year ago, 2 years ago. And I'm not sure how many of you have done this, but this is a reminder. Refresher course. Make sure you have a prayer journal. And for those of you that are men, a prayer journal is not a sissy thing to have, you know, because, you know, when you grow up, girls only had journals. But when you write down what God spoke to you and you open it up and you go back many months later, you're reminded of what he said to praise him, or you're reminded of what he said to say, God, forgive me. I'm not doing well in that. It's important that we have a journal. We write things down in our conversations with God. You know, a lot of times, for those of you that are romantics, there's, you know, birthday cards and happy anniversary and you know, cards from your loved ones. And some of you might save those. Why do you save them? So you can go back, you know, and few years later, because it's cherished. And you cherish those words from that person, your loved one. And here God speaks to us and he wants to speak to us daily. Slide two, Joe. Jesus provides daily conversations with God. And I found this picture. I thought, man, this is awesome. Because when you have a conversation with God, it's called prayer. And it's as simple as this. Finding a bench somewhere. Finding a place to sit. And just sit down and talk to Jesus. Talk to God. Talk to Holy Spirit. This is something that we tend to over-spiritualize. We have to use King James language. We have to come to the church. You don't have to go to the church to have prayer with God. You don't have to. Now, if you really want to, Tuesday night, 6:30, we're always here praying. But you don't have to have conversations with God. Oh, I got to be in the church to have a conversation with God. No, you can have it at your bedside. You can have it in your car while you're driving. Don't close your eyes, though. But you can talk to God while you're driving. Jesus provides these daily conversations with God. Why? Because he paid once. Everyone say once. Once and for all, Jesus paid for our sin. Therefore, we have access to the Father called reconciliation. We are reconciled to God. We are able to have access to God the Father because Jesus paid once. Everyone say once. Say it like you mean it. Once, yes, Jesus paid once and for all for our sin, and we have access to God. And I heard a preacher say that Jesus said that he's sitting at the right hand of the Father. It's because he's done. He's sitting at the right hand of the Father because there's nothing else to do. He intercedes for us every single day. But the fact that Jesus already done, and when he was on the cross, he said it is finished. It was finished for paying for our sin. And then he was resurrected to be with the Father, and he sits down at the right hand of the Father. Slide three, Joe. Our conversations with God alters our attitude. This is my first point. It alters our attitude. Now, notice it says conversations with God. It doesn't say a conversation. Some people think that one conversation they had 15 years ago was good enough. I'm not sure what relationship you have that is good enough. That it was good enough to say, I do at the altar. And then ever since then, I don't even talk to her. I don't even talk to him anymore. How is that relationship going for you? It ought to be every single day. So our conversations with God, they alter our attitude if we allow it to. John chapter 17, you don't have to go there. But I just want to share with you in John chapter 17, this is Jesus' conversation with the Father about believers, about the schemes that the enemy has towards his believers, and believers then and believers today. And that he is talking with the Father. Now this is before he goes to the garden to pray, because in John chapter 18, verses 1 and 2, again you don't have to go there, Jesus takes his disciples and he takes them to a place to go pray. Now it says in verse 2 that Judas, the one that betrayed Jesus, he knew where to go. Do you ever think about that? How did Judas know where to find Jesus in the middle of the night? How did he? Because he knew where Jesus would be. Why? Because that's where Jesus normally went. It was his custom. Matthew chapter 26 and Mark chapter 14 mentions that it was Jesus's custom to go to this garden, the Garden of Gethsemane, to go and pray. As a matter of fact, how many of you ever find in the Bible where it says that you have to pray 15 minutes? No, don't raise your hand. No, there's nowhere in the Bible that says you have to pray 15 minutes or 45 minutes. But there's one place in Scripture that mentions time and prayer, and it's within the context of prayer, and it's spoken by Jesus. See, because here in Matthew 26, Jesus mentions, tells them to go pray and pray that they won't fall for temptation. Then Jesus goes and prays, a stone throw away. He comes back, he finds them sleeping, and he tells them, could you not tarry for 1 hour? This is the only one place. So listen, don't get mad at me. But if you're spending 15 minutes of prayer, can I encourage you what Jesus encouraged the disciples? He said, pray that you won't fall for temptation. Now, what's the temptation? You're going to go gamble. You're going to go gossip. You're going to go beat up somebody. No, the temptation is that you will fall asleep and not pray. And then he says, could you not tarry 1 hour? Wake up. Wake up. I don't know about you, but that tells me that there's a time limit that we can actually shoot for. Now, some of you are like, man, I don't know. I really can't do anything after 5 minutes. Let's just think about this. How long does a movie normally take? And for those of you that love to talk during the movie, again, how long does the movie take? About over an hour and a half, doesn't it? All right. Now, I like watching sports. I mean, we're joking around. I can even watch bowling. I can even watch guys throwing darts at the National Dart Championship. And so a lot of times the games can last over an hour. And a lot of times I can go out to eat with someone in fellowship and it lasts well over an hour. We can have conversations with people that last over an hour. But yet when it comes to God, oh, God, I only got 15 minutes. If that's you, there's a problem, and I encourage you to pray and say, God, I commit that I will give you an hour every day to talk with you, that I will talk and then I'll sit, zip it up, and I'll listen. This is something that we find in Scripture. Nowhere else do you find that you're supposed to pray 30 minutes, you're supposed to pray 2 hours. We find here that Jesus says, couldn't you tarry for 1 hour? Couldn't you tarry, meaning watch, stay awake, pray? For 1 hour. Luke chapter 22, Jesus is in the garden as it was his custom. And in verse 47, it says that he was withdrawn from them about a stone's throw. He knelt down and prayed. Now this is what he said. Father, if it is your will, take this cup away from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. Then the angel appeared to him from heaven, strengthening him. This can happen when you spend time in the presence of God and pray. You'll be strengthened. You'll be encouraged. Your head will be lifted up. I think it's Proverbs or Psalm 3 that says, he is my Lord and the lifter of my head. He'll lift you up. He'll encourage you with his word if you'll stay there long enough to listen to what he's got to say. Jesus models prayer for us because prayer is not just for us. Prayer is actually for others. And a lot of times we just give God hey, God, I want you to do this, our to-do list for him. But yet the problem is we don't sit there long enough to listen his long to-do list of what we're supposed to do. Because it's not about, hey, God, I just want you to do this. But God, help me to fall in line with your will. Because this is what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 6. He mentions about, not my will, God, but your will be done. He actually teaches us how to pray. And he says, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Bring it, God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is Jesus' prayer. God's kingdom, he's reigning in heaven. His kingdom here on earth. His will in heaven. Whatever his will is in heaven, it gets accomplished. And so this is the prayer. Your kingdom come. Your royalty come. Your authority come. Your rulership come here on earth. Your will come, not mine. Your will come here on earth as it is in heaven. And then verse 12. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Verse 14. Very important. Don't just stop at verse 13. Verse 14, for if you forgive men their trespasses, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive men their trespasses, neither will your Father forgive your trespasses. lot of times we expect God to do something for us, but we're not willing to do what he wants us to do. Don't miss the key of this prayer, that God's will be done when we have conversations with God. Yes, it's okay to vent. It's okay to talk to God about your concerns. He wants to know your concerns. The thing is that he already knows, but doesn't it bring intimacy when we're talking and the connecting? Being married to Shannon, I've learned that conversations, it's not just for her, it's for both of us. It brings intimacy and connection and more and of a deeper love between us. And this is what God wants to create within both of us, him and me, that we actually have a meaningful relationship, that I'm talking and then I'll shut up and listen. And that my will is not done, his will. My attitude is altered because I'm talking with him and I'm listening, because God's ways are much higher and better than mine. When we choose not to forgive others, we can't be used by him. If we choose to carry unforgiveness, you tell me, is it your will or is it God's will being done? It's your will. When you choose to not forgive, it is your will that's being done, not his. And so therefore, when we're having this conversation with God, we are praying, it's for that our attitude would be altered. Daily conversations with God has the ability to affect our surroundings. Next slide, please. Our conversations with God affects our atmosphere. I found this postcard and I thought it was awesome. We found this in Pittsburgh. I forgot where it was. Not Pittsburgh. It was in Pennsylvania. And I found this postcard, and anybody know what this is? The tabernacle in the Old Testament. See that fire? That's God. If you can kind of just look, it's far, little small tent all the way in the back. That person walked outside the tent, they could see the fire. You know what that registered in their mind? God is with me. I have nothing to fear. That is my God. The presence of God is in this place. I have peace. I have comfort. God is with us. We are the temple. No longer does it have to be that. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit. And we have this temple. And every day we should be reminded, because of our daily conversations, we should be reminded, Emmanuel. That's what Emmanuel is. God is with us. That's what Emmanuel means. God is with us. So every day, because of our daily conversations with God, we ought to be reminded that God, you are with me. Holy Spirit, you are inside of me. Jesus, you are in my heart and you are leading me. Within the confines of our homes, everyone in your home ought to feel like that. God is with us. If you are incorporating daily communication, daily conversations with God, that your home would feel just like that. As soon as your children wake up, they get out of the bed, they should already feel and sense that the presence of God is there. God is with us. They walk outside of their room, God is with us. Within the confines of our homes, our workplaces, and where we travel, it is possible, yes, it is possible, that the atmosphere can be changed, not because of Rick, but because of God, and that's inside of me, and our daily conversations, not my will is being done, his will is being done. I shared a story many months ago about an evangelist, Reinhard Bonnke. He's in South America, and they are doing a crusade. He goes into a store with some of the ministers of that town. He goes into the store and there is a young lady behind the checkout counter. Once they walk in, she begins to cry. Is it Reinhard Bonnke because he has a bunch of scriptures memorized? No. It's the presence and the Spirit of God with these men that have been praying and that are being used by God to go into this town to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. I'm reading this book called Rebuilding the Altar by Pat Schatzlein. He's at the airport. And it's a testimony. He's at the airport with several ministers are talking about a kind of similar, a crusade or a revival. And there's a lady at the ticket counter, and she hears their conversation, and she says, "Will you pray for me? Will you pray for me?" And he's kind of tired, and he said, "Okay, yeah, let's go ahead and pray." He is energized and strengthened as he lays his hand upon this lady, and the rest of them are praying for her. She begins to cry and weep. Right there, she has a revival moment in her life, and the presence of God is felt in that place. This doesn't happen just because you're an evangelist. This doesn't happen just because you're a famous preacher. This can happen with every believer who has the Spirit of God, who lives according to that. God is with me, and I have daily conversations with Him. And because I have daily conversations with Him, and His Spirit is within me, I can walk into a room, and the atmosphere in that room will change. It's not because of Rick. It's not because of Thomas. It's because of the Spirit of God that's inside of us and our connection with God. 2 Samuel, let's go there real quick. 2 Samuel chapter 6. And I'm not going to read all the scriptures, but I want us to drop down. Just put your finger there at verse 10. What happens is the Ark of the Covenant, David has it, and he's bringing it, and he's going to bring it to the house of Israel. And the Ark of the Covenant is very holy. You touch it, you die. And poor guy, Uzzah, I'm thinking, God, he just was trying to stop the Ark from falling on the ground. You ought to, you know. No, doesn't matter. You touch the Ark, you touch the holy thing called the Ark of the Covenant, you die. It was about to fall. He reached out to catch it so that it wouldn't break and it wouldn't fall. Well, he died. Now, David was very angry and David was very scared. I don't want that thing coming to my house. Verse 9, David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? So David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David. But David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. The ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Why do you think that happened? Because the presence of God was with that Ark of the Covenant. His house was blessed. Why? Because the presence of God arrived to his house. Now, I'm not saying that the presence of God is going to arrive to your house and you become filthy, stinking rich. I don't believe that's going to happen. If it does, hey, don't forget about me. But I'm not saying that that's going to happen. But the fact that the presence of God, again, when the people walked outside their tents and they're right there in the midst of the tabernacle and it's at night and the fire of God is right there hovering above the tabernacle. It's reminding people, I am with you. I am your God. You are my people. You see, this special conversation that we have with God, it is a connection. And this connection leads to communion. And this is what interesting that happened. Once David found out that Obed-Edom's house was being blessed, David said, bring that to my house. Because he wanted the presence of God there. He wanted that atmosphere to change. You see, communion with God, worshiping God, praising Him, rejoicing in His Word, it recognizes and demonstrates that you are seeking God, and it gives you the opportunity to talk to God, and your daily conversations bring communion. The word communion means it's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings, and especially when the exchange is on a mental or spiritual level. Some of you ladies are like, oh, that's good. I'm going to share that to my husband. It's the sharing or exchanging of intimate thoughts and feelings to one another. John chapter 14, Jesus says this. He who has my commandments and keep, verse 21. He who has my commandments and keeps them, it is he who loves me. And he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and manifest myself to him. You see, and there's connection here. Judas, not Iscariot, said to Jesus, Lord, how is it that you will manifest yourself to us and not to the world? Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. Just like Obed-Edom. I can have an experience better than Obed-Edom because the Spirit of the living God is inside of me. So marriage has taught me that the intimacy through conversation results in communion and deeper love. And God says, that's what I want with you. Are you willing to have that with me? Let's go to the next slide, Joe, in slide 5. I think we're on slide 5 now. Conversations with God reaffirms my aim. I have to have an aim. Who am I? I believe that God was reminding some people today who you are. You are my son. You are my daughter. I know stuff's going on, but don't forget what I said. You are my son. You are my daughter. Who are you living for? What's your purpose? I mean, discover your purpose. What's your goal? The Apostle Paul says in Philippians chapter 3, brethren, I do not count myself to have apprehended, but one thing I do. He says, look, man, everything that I've achieved, man, I forget all of that stuff. I'm forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forward to those things which are ahead that only God can provide. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Now, we're not certain how often Paul prayed, but from this statement here, do you think that his aim was his will or God's will? Most certainly it was God's will, not his will. Most certainly he had a connection with God because he knew what his purpose was. He knew what he had to do. He knew that if it was his life on the line, so be it. I will die sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we get to that place that we have a daily conversation with God, communion with him, connection with him, that we know what our aim is because in our conversations with him, he's reminding us. Because some of us, we need reminding, don't we? We need reminding. Some of you might need more help in reminding than others, but reminding ourselves only goes so far as your mind can remember. But if we remain committed to God, God will remind us where to put our aim, what is our goal, who we are, what we're supposed to live for. He makes sure to reveal it to us, like he's doing this morning. He makes sure to remind us, just in case you forgot. He makes sure to restore us when many of you, I pray, will do today. As God has spoken to you, what you're supposed to change, what you forgot, what you haven't been doing, this is where he will restore you. When you say, God, forgive me. I commit to do better. I commit to give you 1 hour. If I can give an hour and a half to a baseball game, God, I can give you an hour. God, if I can give an hour to whatever I do on the weekend, God, I can give you 1 hour. That's what you do, and when you do that wholeheartedly, God begins to restore. You see, because he can't restore someone that doesn't want to be restored. Kind of like your kids when they don't want to share. When they don't want to share, they're not willing to give up that toy. You have to teach them to share, hoping that they will be willing to share whatever toy they have in their hand. But if they're like, it's going to be more spankings, more punishments, more timeouts. A lot of times God wants to teach us, and so that our aim in life is not living for stuff, but living for a Savior. And finally, I finish with Ephesians chapter 6. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on this armor of God that you may be able. What's the purpose? To stand against the wiles of the devil. We do not fight against one another. You might be fighting with someone today. Do you know that God wants you, as I read the Lord's Prayer, God wants you to forgive them. Well, if you say you are living or you are being led by your will, not God's will. So choose to say, Lord, forgive me. I need your help. I need to forgive them because your word says, and God, if I want you to forgive me what I did yesterday, I need to forgive those what they did to me a year ago or 2 months ago or 2 minutes ago. God sent his Holy Spirit for a purpose, as Jesus stated, to your advantage, for your benefit. We have the Holy Spirit, and God's Holy Spirit enables us to become a part of this daily conversation. As our helper, teacher, and guide, the Holy Spirit is revealing to us what God is wanting us to hear, what God is wanting us to know. Therefore, it is vital that we begin to see conversations with God as daily conversations, not once a week, not once a month, not whenever you feel like it, not whenever you have hard problems, when you're stuck between a rock and a hard place. Those are convenient times. And listen, God can't do really anything if you're just going to him when it's convenient. When it's your convenience, it should be every day. Why? Because every day our attitudes need to be corrected. Every day we're walking into atmospheres that desperately need Jesus. And many times, for some, like I said, maybe more than others, but many times we need to be reminded what our aim is. Who are we living for? What are we living for? Let's bow our heads. Father, we come to you and we thank you. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity to restore. God, you remind. You remind us things. But God, you restore when you speak to us and we realize what we're supposed to do. God, I thank you for allowing that to happen. That is such a God with great mercy who will allow us to just live life how we want to.
But God, you will remind us what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to live. And you'll make room for repentance. And then you can restore. I thank you, God, that you desire to restore us. You desire to fix us. You desire to mold us, to make us, to shape us, to become the men and women that you created us to be. Father, I pray for those that have already been hearing the voice of the Holy Spirit speak to them. I pray that they begin to repent right here, right now.